Intervju Radija Študent.
Drage poslušalke, dragi poslušalci, lepo pozdravljeni v oddaji RŠ Intervju. Na letošnjem festivalu Ment je kot govorec na dveh dogodkih sodeloval tudi Derek Mazzoni, ameriški radijski voditelj, kulturni producent in filmski ustvarjalec. Mazzoni že več kot 30 let vodi oddajo Wow Pop na radiju KEXP, je soustanovitelj ter izvršni direktor organizacije Sama Music and Art, ki povezuje glasbenike z celega sveta in tako omogoča kulturno izmenjavo, ob tem pa je tudi soustanovitelj založbe Old Age Recording Company. Mazzoni je z namenom kratke ture obiskal prostore Radija Študent, nato pa smo se z njim pogovarjali o njegovi karieri in svetu glasbe.
So thank you again for taking the time to come to radio and we're really honored to have you here.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed our little tour.
I'm honored. This place is great. Great job.
I'm really glad you like it. You also, like, during our little tour, you mentioned that you had similar beginning. Like, this is familiar to you, this kind of environment.
Very familiar. It feels very passionate. People are here because they really care about music, they really care about community, they care about the radio station. I mean, it's a radio station. It's always going to have it's a bunch of people. You have to deal with people not showing up. You have to deal with people coming and steal. You know, it's an experiment, and like, how do you work with different people, different perspectives, different life choices, and all for art, for music, to share this. That's the whole purpose of radio. It's like you love what you're doing, and you find something, and you want to share it. And it's interesting to me right now because you don't need radio anymore. Mm-hmm. Used to have radio to find music. You can find music anywhere. So like the place where I'm now with KXP, and I help make that thing what it is right now, it's more popular than ever when you don't need it like you used to. So it becomes a really interesting experiment of like, why is it more popular? What are people finding in radio? I'm seeing that college radio is more popular than ever because people want something authentic. This place feels authentic. What's authentic in Slovenian?
Authenticno.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Same.
Pretty, yeah, similar. Yeah. As you said, yeah. I mean, there is a lot of music nowadays, but I think a lot of people are realizing the importance of curated, well-chosen music. Something you cannot find. The algorithm playlist won't.
Yeah.
Show you.
And you know that people are actually choosing this to make it work in a set or anything that's going on. That's different. And the other thing that I love about radio is that when you're listening on your device, it's your own personal experience. And when you're listening to radio, you know you're listening with other people. It's like you're listening together, and that's really important.
Yeah, like a collective experience.
Yeah.
I also read about your little adventure in Seattle. That's how you ended up in KEXP, basically.
Yeah, back then it was KCMU.
Different name.
Mm-hmm. And then it became, it was great. It was, you know, I got to Seattle in 92, and it was a very interesting time to be in Seattle because Seattle was still cheap, and it was changing. All this stuff was happening because Seattle's a very new city. It's a new city. It's only been around for like 120 years at the time, and it's like the last city before you hit Canada and the ocean. So it would always get people who wanted to get away from wherever they were. And there was a lot of interesting energy there. And I was coming in, I was listening to KCMU, and I was doing radio back in Boston, and I was like, oh, let me do this. Like, it was one of those moments where it feels like the universe is telling you to stay. Because I was already had a life in Boston. You know, it's literally the opposite side of the United States. And just the universe kept going like, no, you're here. Here's radio. Here's an amazing work. I found my wife there. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a pretty magical moment. And so this is almost a like life thing. I have two kids. And, you know, you try to be a good father, especially. I have two daughters. And you want to guide them as much as you can with teenagers. They're like, yeah, dad, yeah. but like, listen to what the universe is telling you, what something's going on. If you're working and it's like even with radio, it was like the transitions that we had it became a little easier and easier. Like we were doing it right, and it felt like the wind was at our back. Sometimes, you know, you're trying to do something and it's just not going anywhere, and it's like, maybe you should stop and do something else.
At the point when you started working at KXP, was it, KCMU. Was it relatively a new thing, or was it established?
It was established. Mm-hmm. It was, the radio in the United States came about when the frequencies were opened to mostly universities and government institutions and churches. So this was a thing that happened in the 70s where people had access, and FM was coming up. So that was the big difference. Mm-hmm. And so it's been there, but it was small. And, you know, it wasn't really doing much because Seattle didn't really have much of a scene. No. Seattle was, it's a new city, so it didn't have much of a cultural hub. But when punk rock started kicking in, late 80s, and then from there metal, and then grunge happened. And grunge was one of those things that put it on the map, in many ways, culturally on the map. A lot of people will know worldwide. I get to travel. I work in a lot of different things. I've been to places where people have no idea what I'm talking about when I'm saying I'm from Seattle. They know the United States is New York, Hollywood. And so it's like, you know, like this in Slovenia, we're in Ljubljana. You know, how many people know three or four other cities in this country?
Exactly.
So, but they know about Nirvana and grunge and Soundgarden. Whether like, that's from Seattle. Or they might know like Starbucks or Amazon, but they don't know the city. So it became the station, KCMU became... Just like Radio Student, you found a way to amplify and to support the music scene and the cultural scene here. So, and we've been continuing to do that throughout.
Mm-hmm. You have your radio show there. It's called Wopop. Yeah. When did it start? Like you were probably, I think I read it, you of course, came there and said, is there some work for me to do? And then you slowly started...
It was a classic situation. So I had a full-time job at a really intense advertising agency. I was producing and directing. It was intense, but I love radio. I love DJing. So I would do my full-time job, and every Monday I would go to the radio station from midnight to 7 a.m.
Wow.
And, you know, I was in my 20s. I could do it. It was hard. But I had a record collection. And back then, you needed a record collection to be on the radio. You needed CDs, you needed something. And I found myself with a pretty significant collection of international music. And so it was like, let's do a radio show based on that. World music was coming up. There was a bunch of stuff going on there. It finally found a place in record stores, because for a long time, these records were in different countries. It would go into a bin called Other or Ethnic, and nobody would go there. So once you had like a genre, people would find it. The genre got too big, it got a little too crazy, and now you don't even need it anymore, because with like streaming platforms, I can make a genre tomorrow, call it whatever, like, you know, Slovenian shoegaze. It's like, okay, here we go. But back then it was like, let me share this music. And I'm an immigrant too, so I've always, you know, loved music from different parts of the world. I grew up under communism, so it was also, you couldn't access Western music. It was forbidden at that time. You had a little bit of that here in Yugoslavia?
Yeah.
But not as much as it was in Poland.
Yeah, I think it was more strict.
Yeah, it was more strict. And then it started to grow and grow, and things started to evolve from there. And also, I was working at different jobs. I worked in technology, worked in different places. Like when I was at the advertising agencies, I wanted to help the station, so we made commercials for the station. And when I worked in technology companies, I helped build the infrastructure at the station. So when the internet came and video came, we were ready to kind of have a presence there. That's one of the success factors of the station, is that we built the foundation to help the station evolve as the opportunities happened.
So basically all of your careers are so intertwined.
Yeah, it was always, I've never like, you know, I never worked full time at the station. There were moments that I thought about it, but I felt like it could be better use if I was doing stuff outside and helping the station grow.
Mm-hmm. You also have your record label and also the You're the executive director of SAMA.
Sama, yeah.
Sama, is it? Okay, I wasn't...
Sama is an ancient word from different languages. It means together.
It's here. Uh-huh, okay.
Is there a word for Sama?
No. I think I saw somewhere that it means hearing or listening.
Yeah, it means to listen.
Yes.
It means to... it means heaven. It means a lot of the things. It kind of came to me. It's one of those same things. I'm not that spiritual, so I don't mean to come off like listen to the universe, etc. But it was one of those moments where I was like, okay... let's come up with a name for this. And Sama exists specifically to find ways to bring artists from different parts of the world to Seattle. Because as I was saying before, most people, most bands, when they come to play in the United States, they'll play New York, Chicago, LA. You know, they don't really travel that far. And America's gigantic. The difference between like New Orleans and Seattle, Miami, Boston are like continents. You know, they speak the same language, but different culture, different perspective in many ways. And so it was like, let's find ways to bring artists in. So I and my co-founder, John Goodfellow, were like, let's find ways to bring artists here that are doing really interesting music from all over the world. And we were looking at Asia especially and Africa. We went to Australia to find some amazing artists, and then COVID hit. And we were the last plane outside of Melbourne. And then we got into LA and into Seattle. It was like being in a sci-fi movie. It was okay. Empty. And then we decided to go online because I had been working with technology and had been working online with KXP. So we built this platform where I was able to interview artists. You've got Shirom up there. That was one of the first bands I interviewed.
Yeah, really?
Actually, yeah, on Sama. Wow. Because suddenly I realized they don't have to be here. You know, they couldn't be here. Nobody was traveling. Nobody could perform. So let's interview them. Let's have them play. Let's give them a little bit of money because we raised some funds. And then I had 3 years of that. Every week I was doing another show and another show and still doing KEXP. But it became an interesting learning experience where I was like, wait, I can do that. And out of that, I was able to create a whole bunch of EPKs. You know what an EPK is?
No.
Electronic press kit. So it's okay, what, like, what... somebody would send you about a band, where they are, etc. Mm-hmm. And now I have all this content that we edit all the time because we become quite a presence on online. And now when these artists now hopefully come to play, I can tell their story because I've got all this stuff that I've done with them already. So we're continuing to do that, finding ways to bring artists from different parts of the world to Seattle. I'm trying to make Seattle more of a cultural hub.
Mm-hmm, incredible. And how is the music scene now in Seattle? You mentioned that when you started working, like the grunge scene was evolving. How is it now?
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It suffers a bit from the fact that it was so much in global culture. So everybody's kind of like, what's next? What's next? And it can't really be like that. You needed to have like a certain mixture. It was cheap. It was cheap enough. And when it's cheap, you have a lot of people living together. You know, you could live there, work as a barista and be a poet. You could take a little job here and there and make it work. It's a much more expensive city. And so the scene is evolving outside of the main city. It's a little small towns and bigger towns. It's an interesting transition right now. Lots of hip-hop, lots of electronic. Rock is still there. But it's going through some interesting transitions. One of the intriguing things about Seattle and the region is that one out of every four people in the city right now and the whole region is an immigrant because of the technology industry. So I'm curious to see what is going to be coming from these communities. Like, it's a sanctuary city, so when the Yugoslavian war happened, we got a whole bunch of people from Bosnia. And they're making some interesting music. Friends of mine by the name of Culture Shock are going to be here mm-hmm. in just a bit. And this was, you know, a band called Gino Banana, who was like the Backstreet Boys of Yugoslavia. And now they're a crazy little punk rock band.
Mm-hmm.
And what are their kids doing? What are their grandkids doing? What, you know, there's an interesting scene that's coming in, that's coming out of the place that might become something really interesting. And just a bit right now. But now it's good. You know, it's not like gigantic. But that's the thing that happens when you suffer. When you become big, everybody's always like, so what's next? What's next? And it's like, we don't quite know what's next. It's different like place like New York where you've got so many more people. And it's constantly a destination. There's always something bubbling out of Brooklyn and stuff like that. But America's gigantic. There's an interesting scene out of San Diego. New Orleans has always got great stuff. Miami's got some interesting, being a reggaeton out of Puerto Rico with Bad Bunny and all mm-hmm. that. It's a continent.
Yeah, I think also, I mean, I also mentioned Seattle, but I think America, it's also like a characteristic of the whole America that you have people from all around, and these influences that come with that are incredible when it comes to music.
Yeah.
Do you have maybe some musicians from Seattle to recommend to listeners?
Oh, right now? There's an amazing band called Deep Sea Diver that I love, fronted by Jessica Dobson, a phenomenal woman. Really great rock, really pushing boundaries. There's my friend Prometheus Brown, who's doing some great hip-hop, waiting for Sopsy to come back with more. We have an amazing jazz scene. That's been really interesting, and it's because the high schools in the region are producing some of the best jazz bands in the country. They have a contest of all the high school. So there's a really vibrant scene of jazz that's coming up right now. And there's a great punk rock scene. I'm kind of seeing this with my own kids. You know, they're the way they're approaching it is very open to different genres. They're throwing parties that it's a combination of punk, electronic, jazz, folk. You know, it's because of streaming, you're not really segmented into.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything's open to anybody. There's a really cool scene tied to all different types of electronic music. The segmentation that's happening with that. You know, jam, tribal, techno, EDM. Well, EDM is kind of like a marketing term. It's cool. There's some cool stuff there. I will say, reach out to me and I'll send some stuff as far as that goes. My focus has been locally, but right now, because the station has grown so much, I'm really focused on international. Like, I'm here specifically to find bands from Ljubljana and Slovenia and find ways to have them come and play. Because this is also important. This is one of the only ways that artists are actually making a living. The dirty secret about this industry is that artists are suffering. Nobody's buying records.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I hate being like this because I feel like Cassandra. It's like, hello, this isn't sustainable. And people are like, no, music, it's beautiful. It's like, no, these artists are like taking jobs just to survive. You've got to figure this out. It's different in Europe, but it's still hard. You know, how do you actually make this work?
Yeah, and also the men, there was also talk about those initiatives that we have, Upbeat and Live Europe, that support artists in many ways, like those residences and finances. And
all this great.
I think America is a bit lacking in that, as far as I've heard.
Some it is lacking.
Coherent.
It is lacking, but it's also important to... you've got to connect with the audience, and the audience has to find a way to support you. This is the big secret with KEXP. Most of our funding comes from individuals at like $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
All over the world. You've got to make that connection between the people that love the music and the people that are making the music. Government and stuff like that, it's not sustainable. Governments change. And, you know, also, you've got to figure out different ways to reach that audience. We were talking about, like, the chrysalis, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how the music industry is working anymore. We used to know how it works. You get signed to a label, you tour, people buy records. That doesn't work anymore. So we got to figure out how to make that connection.
Yeah, exactly. And we were also talking about that thing that a lot of people think, no, radio is dead. Like, it's being replaced by those people listen more to playlists that are generated for them, podcasts. But there are stuff like KEXP and radios all around.
Oh, yeah, NTS still being here. There's, you know, we're in a transition. Don't listen to anybody that's fucking telling you they know what's happening. They don't. They're just, like, speculating. The reality is that people love music more than ever. One of the reasons that I started Sama was to get people out of their homes and go see shows. You know, COVID was a motherfucker. You know, people forgot how to go out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're young, yeah, you got to go out because you're like, you want to be around people. But a lot of people that used to go out don't go out anymore. They're getting more and more depressed. And they're taking more and more, you know, psychodrugs or whatever's going on. They're just not connecting. And so, you know, even though they're introverts, I always say, like, it doesn't matter. Come to a show. You don't have to talk to anybody if you don't want to. But just be around each other. Enjoy this music. And you're going to feel a lot better. You're going to learn something. It's going to make your life much more impactful. And if you go to shows, you're supporting the economy around that. You're supporting the venue. You're supporting people that work there. You're supporting the restaurants that are around there. And it's harder than ever. People are drinking less, especially in the States, which is good. But, you know, that's how venues survived. And you also need venues that aren't gigantic. You need small venues where artists can come and suck, you know, where you're just learning how to perform, how to DJ. But you got to do it in a place where you can make mistakes. And right now, because everything is so perfect, you know, I'm a DJ. I work in clubs all the time. Mm-hmm. People love when it's like a little off, because if it's just all the same thing, it's like a machine.
Boring, yeah.
Yeah, it's boring. You just go crazy. So just people want authentic. They want analog. They want to feel like they're connecting with something real, like you have here. This is real. You know, congratulations. You made something real.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Also, we mentioned the Sama initiative, and I also wanted to ask you about your label.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start with that?
I started that, and right now I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do with it, because labels are like interesting. I'm trying to figure out like what is it that we like released a few records, they didn't sell that much, and so I'm like, okay, how does this model work? What do I want to do with the label? Is it more like a management thing? Is it more like a platform? So Sama is a platform. I just finished my first feature that I shot in Morocco and Malaysia and Turkey, and like telling a story of musicians, instrument makers. I am constantly filming artists and creating content around that, putting it together in different ways. I'm finding ways to teach artists. You know, I have a background in artificial intelligence and in social media. So I am trying to teach artists that this thing is here. It's not going away. You got to figure out how to play it like you figured out how to play your instruments. I'm trying to teach artists that they need to engage with their fans in a different way than they used to, because this is changing.
True.
I want them to survive and I want them to grow, but they need to participate in that process. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, okay. Of course it does. Thank you for the insight, because I think a lot of people are just trying not to pay attention to that, but as you said, it's happening.
No, a lot of people have... I mean, this is an old term in technology companies, because, you know, I've worked in giant companies and on big projects where I knew that it was going to, as soon as it launched, it was already obsolete. But the machine, it just forces you to finish it. Like, whether it's a giant company, I mean, this is a classic story of communism. It's like, this is the 5-year plan. And it's like, we don't need all these things anymore. Why are we doing this? Well, it's the plan. It's the plan. That's the same situation. You've got to be able to pivot. You got to be able to change really, really quickly, especially now where everything is a laboratory, and especially in this. But the core is people loving music, connecting with artists, connecting with something that gives them a sense of hope and perspective.
I also wanted to just go back quickly to the label and ask you whether your criteria for choosing artists are more or less similar to when you're choosing the artist for your radio show for Lopal.
It is.
How do you choose artists?
I decided to choose the artists that we started to work with because I really cared about them. I have a weird kind of tick with me. I don't know why, but if I'm actually listening, it doesn't matter the genre. If I'm listening to it and it makes me cry just a little bit, it works. It's amazing. And I've had this with classical, with jazz, with punk rock. Something goes on when I'm connecting with it. So if those artists are doing something that connects me, I want to help them and so they can continue making this thing that gives me this amazing emotional response. So it's very selfish, because I want this to continue. Because music is one of those things, like, I always equate it to cuisine. I still remember the first time I had Thai food. I grew up in Poland. Thai food, what the hell is that? It blew my mind. And I remember the first time, because when I came to America, my first friend was a kid named Tony. He was African-American. His family turned me on to soul and funk and all these things. It was amazing, and I wanted more of it. It's like, if you hear a great song, you want to hear it again. It's not like something, oh, I heard this one great song, I don't need to hear it again. No. Becomes like you want it to be part of your life. And so I did the label to have that, to be part of my life. But the label model and everything else, for it to work, you have to be gigantic. And you have to kind of try to figure out what it is that you're going to do with these artists. When I started, I didn't realize how important video was. And so I'm like, okay, how am I going to do this? And then you just have to go into working the algorithm. Because one of the reasons KXP is successful is we know how to work the algorithm. We know how to leverage all of this. But, you know, this gets me into trouble because we rely on the algorithm. But for me, it's not about the algorithm. It's about the rhythm and how you're actually connecting with it as a human being. I've been in technology forever. And I love it, but I also know what it is. So, you know, it's a machine. It's a powerful machine that connects with you, but this is not a machine, what you have here.
True.
This is something that is very tied to the natural world in a really interesting way. And so I'm trying to figure out how do I achieve that in a context and then maybe do something with the label, something else with it. Like, as I was telling you before, everything's a laboratory right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not like, it must work this way. It's like, we didn't sell, so I'm like, okay, let me put that away. Let me try something else for a little while. You know, I'm not a romantic that way. Like, it must work. It's like, nah, let me see what else is there.
Yeah, I have to be practical as well.
You gotta be pragmatic, too. It's mm-hmm. like, all right, let's see what happens. Let's see, this is going this way. Let me try this.
Mm-hmm. Also, when you're presenting, because your radio show is focused on the world music, do you also focus on presenting the cultural and political context of those artists? Because it's also relevant.
Yeah. Always, always. You know, it's the statement that I make. I'm not the... There are certain DJs that I go like, blah, 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 me.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the song. I'm like, I treat my sets like if I'm throwing a dinner party. You know, I just want to connect, and then I go away. And I'm making sure that people are talking to each other and fine. But I don't need to be involved in every single thing. It doesn't need to be like me. That's boring. I have been to those things. It's like... Let other people talk to each other. So that's the way I approach this. It's like if people are connecting, beautiful, here's that journey. And you go there. And then I want to find somebody else, somewhere else, something else. I'm finding it really interesting right now that a lot of young people are looking for their roots, looking to connect with music from their own history. Because especially in the, you know, in the communist part of the world, a lot of this music was forbidden, so once the wall came down, everybody was like, screw this, I want to sound exactly like the West. You know, so you had a whole bunch of cover bands, and you still do. You know, you've got like a version of Radiohead that's from Slovenia. It's like, great, you're telling me that you love Radiohead. It's not that interesting. But bands like Shiroma and others are like, wait a second, you're actually telling me something about this culture, this country, this part of the world for thousands of years. And it doesn't need to be like folkloric, like I sound exactly like the village. It could be electronic, it could be metal, it could be anything. But it tells me that you're curious about where you're from, not what you're just listening to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah.
And I'm seeing this all over the world. I've been in China, Korea, Nepal, India. Everybody's kind of exploring, from a generational perspective, is exploring. I think this part of this term that comes up with, it's called the claustrophobia of choice. And that is when you have too many choices. Like, you know, you're on a streaming platform or something. It's like, Jesus, what can I do here?
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. And so it's claustrophobic in an interesting way.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are trying to find something that resonates with them and making that work.
Mm-hmm. And you find artists through traveling, I presume. And
I've been doing this forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a network. I have connections with people. I've got a whole bunch of stuff. And I have a good ear. You know, and I do travel a lot. And so, like, I'm here with Ment. Ment was great, my first time for Sam Ljubljana. Awesome. Well done. great curation. Really good stuff. Really interesting places to hear music. And then, you know, I'll do what I do, and that's connect people to it. Get people to come and visit. Spend money here. Go to venues. Go support artists.
Was there someone that you particularly liked at Ment?
I have to still go through it. I like Meral Palapa. She's from Amsterdam. I liked this drummer that was playing last night at the Castle. She's been in a few bands. Daniela, I think it's her
Valentina.
Name.
Is it Valentina?
Yeah. I
think.
I have to go through it because it was like a lot.
Yeah, a lot, yeah.
One after another, and after kind of like, it's a bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
But good, in a good way.
Yeah. Is there some region or some artist that currently inspire that you would like to bring to KEXP?
Yeah. I mean, I'm really intrigued, and I'm doing this right now, the music that's coming out of the Baltics, Riga, Tallinn. I'm going to Vilnius after this. This is, you know, it's a funky neighborhood, and you never know what's going to happen. So it feels like there's a lot of energy. A lot of artists are like trying to express themselves in interesting ways. I like the scene that's coming out of places that have had an interesting colonial history, like Luanda, Angola, Porto, Lisbon, where there's a whole mix of stuff going on. It's an amazing scene out of Kampala, Uganda right now. The places that have always been doing cool stuff are doing really interesting, like Tokyo. The stuff that's coming out of the traditional stuff coming out of Korea right now is phenomenal. And I got a chance to spend some time in China, and China is insane. The amount of phenomenal music, because it's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
And it's got all these different regions, and they got music, like, they got the entire history of Western music dropped on them at one time because they were totally blocked, and then all these cassettes started to come in, and they were just recycled, but people set up pop-up shops with their stuff. So all these artists started to mix everything from ragtime to metal to pop to hip-hop and create these hybrids. I had my mind blown when I was there, like, what is this stuff? And so that's going to be the next thing that I'm really enjoying.
It's incredible. Yeah, I think China, yeah, a lot of us don't know much about it, probably because of
no,
the politics.
No, it's very interesting. And I mean, we're just beginning with the stuff that's coming out of, like, musicians making music with AI. And what is that going to be? What is that kind of instrumentation going to happen? You know, look what happened to music when you had synthesizers and drum machines.
True,
and loopers.
Yeah.
This is going to be the next thing. And I'm curious to see how that's going to reflect from a cultural perspective.
True. Is there anything else you would like to add? Some other projects that you're working on?
Well, I'm making lots of films.
Yeah, true.
Sama's growing. KXP's fine. You know, one of the main things that I wanted to make sure with KXP is that if I could, like, I could be living in an island somewhere and I could turn it on and it's there. And so that's there. So yeah, I'm enjoying watching that grow and continue. I feel like I'm just getting started with a lot of stuff. You know, I have dual citizenship, so I'm looking to work with projects with Creative Europe and find ways to elevate communities and come up with ways to help other artists put that out. And I'm curious to help artists land in this crazy time. And connect with art, connect with fans, and be sustainable. As in, like, make enough money so you don't have to do a shit job.
That's well said.
That's the sustainability. Great to be green and all that, but, like, continue. I want you to continue to make music.
Thank you so much.
Z Derekom Mazonijem se je pogovarjala Milena Pantović. Intervju Radija Študent.